Good evening.
Good evening, John.
I welcome you with all my heart. It is good to be with you once again. I love every one of you unconditionally. All is well. If you only realized who you were, if you just had a glimpse of who you really are, why you'd be the happiest person in this world. If you had one little glimpse of reality for just a second, this would change your life forever. One glimpse of reality is all you need. And you would never worry again about anything. You would never fear anything again. You would never become upset over anything. Just a glimpse. It's all you need. There is a reality that has absolutely nothing to do with this world. That reality may be called consciousness. The ultimate reality. It is you. You are the ultimate reality. If you understood this, all of the gods and goddesses would pay homage to you. They would dance in front of you. The Krishnas, the Shivas, the Buddhas, the Bodhisattvas, they're all within you. You're not separate than that. It is all one. And you are that one. You are the Buddha. You are the Christ. You are the God. You're the one that you've been waiting for all of your life. Many of you have been searching for the right guru, the right teacher, the right teaching. But it's been you all this time. You have been the one you've been searching for. Your search is at an end. There's no one else but you. Nothing can ever happen to you. You can't be hurt, it's impossible. You cannot die because you were never born. You have no experiences on this earth because you're not on this earth. I'll share with you this evening the three vehicles of self-realization. There was once a guy who went to a psychiatrist and he said, my brother thinks he's a chicken. And the psychiatrist said, why don't you turn him in? And the guy said, we need the eggs. This is absolutely nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
That's what we're teaching.
I just thought I'd throw it in. Three vehicles to enlightenment. I'll give you the three, then we'll talk about them. The first one is everything is emptiness. Everything is emptiness. The second one is there is no mind. There is no mind. And the third one is take refuge only in the self. Take refuge only in the self. Now we'll discuss them for a little bit. Everything is emptiness. Everything is empty. Is this true? To most of you, everything seems to be solid. You touch a tree, it's solid. You touch a person, he's solid, she's solid. How can everything be emptiness? But you know, if you were the size of an atom, and you look at your body, you would see the universe. The equivalent to the universe that you see before you today. You would see empty space if you look at your body, if you were the size of an atom. And you would see dots in the empty space, far away. Just as we look at this world, we look up in the world and we see dots representing planets and suns and galaxies. And they're all held in empty space. So everything in this universe is an empty space. Boundless space. You are boundless space. You're not what you appear to be. Also, when you dream, in that dream everything seems solid, everything seems secure. You can grab a tree, it's solid, you grab a person, he or she is solid. They're only solid because you're in the dream. But if we're able to observe the dream, we realize the dream comes out of nowhere. The dream is total emptiness. True? The dream is emptiness. Yet while you're dreaming, it seems so real, so solid. And you never believe it's emptiness. And in the dream, one day you come to a teacher, you become enlightened, and now you're able to see the dream. You've stepped out of the picture. You have stepped out of the dream, and you're watching the dream. You no longer think the dream is real. You try to explain this to people, but you can't explain it. When they listen to you, they think you're crazy. In other words, you've tasted something, you've seen something, you've felt something that hardly anybody else has. You stepped out of the dream. And so it is with this life. This life appears so real. Just think of the problems you had today with your life. The things that upset you, that made you angry. The things that made you happy. You accepted all these things. But if you are enlightened, you see it as a dream. The same as the dream that you dream when you go to sleep. There'd be no difference to you. No difference whatsoever. The more you become involved in this world, the more deluded you are. The more you react to life situations, this is called ignorance. We're taking a dream seriously. You'd also take a dream that you dream at night seriously too, wouldn't you? Because you can't help it. You don't know you're dreaming, you're fast asleep. And the dream is so real. All sorts of things take place in that dream. But you're not a dreamer. But you don't know it. You're not aware of it until you wake up. The point is you have to wake up. And it's only when you wake up that you see this world as a dream. And you no longer take anything seriously. You laugh. You observe the dream. And where did the dream come from? It came from emptiness. It's like a bubble. It's gone. It's your awakening. It never existed. It's total emptiness. So we can say everything in this universe is emptiness. The only reason everything exists is because you exist. It's here for your pleasure. It's your dream. Just trying to understand what I'm talking about will awaken you. If you can just grasp what I'm saying, I don't mean superficially. If you can assimilate, digest what I'm saying, like through food, make it a part of your consciousness, it will awaken. If you listen to me intellectually, you'll get nowhere. Feel what I'm saying. You are dreaming the mortal dream right now. It's all empty. It has no substance. But did you hear the ball? You become upset. You do things to defend yourself. You think people are against you. And you must defend yourself. You see all sorts of enemies that you have to defend yourself from. Collectively, countries start wars. Where they feel something is wrong. Somebody's trying to take something away from them that they think belongs to them. And they go to fight for it. Isn't that silly? Because who wins in the end? Even if you don't know it's a dream, who wins in the end? Is he really a winner? Nobody ever wins. Everyone suffers, goes through experiences, through trials and tribulations. For what purpose? think about this. Everything is emptiness. It has no substance whatsoever. Including your own body. That's the funniest thing. Your body has no substance whatsoever. You have no body. But you think you are a body. Because there's always something happening to it. Really, you have no body whatsoever. Everything is emptiness. This is the first vehicle for self-realization. Yet, you have to be careful what teachers tell you, what you believe what I say, where I get this information from, a book, a lecture. On the contrary, I've had this experience personally. This has been my experience, everything is emptiness. Only a teacher that's been on this path and has realized itself can cause his disciples and devotees to realize itself. For it can only go to the level of the teacher, never be further. There are so many teachers today you gotta be careful. If a teacher tells you that he's had a revelation of some kind that is really far out, be careful. For all the revelations that teachers have had should be part of the lineage, the spiritual lineage. Either the Buddhist lineage, the Hindu lineage, the Christian lineage, the Hebrew lineage, the Islamic lineage. I shouldn't deviate from this. What I'm sharing with you is called Advaita Vedanta. It was first promulgated by somebody called Dattatreya, the father of all yanis. And Shankara, and Ramana Maharshi, and many others. This is the lineage that I come from. What if I sat in and told you something like this? I had a tremendous revelation yesterday. I dreamt that the whole universe was made out of chocolate. We live in a chocolate universe. And the way to enlightenment is to eat your way out of the chocolate. If you eat enough chocolate, you become enlightened. You have to eat the universe, the world. So we gotta eat the trees and the leaves and the plants, and it's really all chocolate. We can do this and become enlightened. You know there'll be people who do this? You can always attract people. You tell them anything, they'll believe it. But you have to be very careful. very careful. Therefore, when I tell you everything is emptiness, I'm speaking of my personal experience. Everything is like a dream, doesn't exist. The idea for you is to wake up from a dream, and you're waking from a dream by realizing that it's a dream. By causing the mind to become still, controlling your thoughts, so everything that you behold comes from your mind. You are the creator of all phenomena. It all comes out of your own mind. Just like when you're dreaming at night, the dream comes out of your mind. Everything comes out of the mind. Now, where is the mind located? Where is the mind? The mind is on your head. So you point to your head saying, my mind is in my head. That's your brain. Your so-called human brain. What science calls the mind is in every cell of your body. This means every cell can be influenced by conditions. Your mind is in every cell. So we now realize that everything is mind, everything came out of the mind. We go to vehicle number two. There is no mind. I blew you away with that one. There is no mind. There's really no such thing as mind. Try to find the mind. Where is it? As I told you before, it's in every cell. That's what science tells us. That's how far they've gone. But the reality is there is no mind. So where did everything come from? If things are not as they appear to be, they're dreams, and dreams come out of the mind, and there's no mind, where did everything come from? Well, this is going to blow some of you away. Nothing exists. Nothing came from anywhere. Nothing exists. It's all hypnosis, hallucination. You're all hallucinated, there's a universe, there's a world, there are people, there's a God, there's a realization. Nothing exists at all. You don't exist. What are you doing here? Get out. You have never existed. And you don't exist now. Yet you tell me I do exist, and so do you, because I can see you, I can see myself, upon this world. I'm just proving to you that science tells us that we're not what we appear to be. We're an empty space. We're like the universe. That's why some people say the universe is the body of God. You are the microcosm and the macrocosm. You are a replica of the universe. You are a universe in yourself. This is as far as science has gotten. And I come along and tell you that nothing exists at all. Nothing ever existed. Isn't that wonderful? All your so-called problems, your nonsensical things you go on with every day, your fears, your frustrations, doesn't exist. All the things that you're trying to do in this world, to succeed, to go forward, to be recognized, fame, name, it doesn't exist. You are hallucinating. It's like mass hypnosis. There's no mind. We go to vehicle number 3. Take refuge in the self. In Buddhism, the basis of Buddhism is the 3 jewels. Take refuge in the Buddha, take refuge in the Dharma, and take refuge in the Sangha. But I tell you that the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha are all within yourself. You are that. So the only refuge you can take is in yourself. You see what I'm getting at? Within yourself are all the answers. All the power, all the Buddhas, all the sages, all the teachings. They are within you. Right this minute. By turning within and taking refuge in the self, you will awaken. You become liberated. And the only way to become liberated, to become free, taking refuge in the self, is by sitting in the silence and pushing all the thoughts away as they come to you. Good thoughts, bad thoughts, all kinds of thoughts. Only by not thinking will the truth be revealed. Not by thinking about it, or by thinking about anything, we're not thinking at all. every time you think, you're using your mind, what we call the mind. As a matter of fact, the mind is nothing but a conglomeration of thoughts. So the mind is thoughts about the past, thoughts about the future, thoughts about what's hurting you now, what's going on in your life today. The whole idea is to get rid of these thoughts, to stop the mind from thinking. Then you will see there's no mind, there are no thoughts, there's no body, there's no self, there's no universe. Those of you who come here are special people. You've been through the world and its nonsense. And you've all had various experiences. You've all practiced sadhana, practiced yoga methods, Raja Yoga, Laya Yoga, Hatha Yoga, all kinds of yoga, Karma Yoga. And you come to this point where you begin to understand that doing yoga, doing anything is unnecessary. Meditation is not necessary. The only thing that's necessary is for you to awaken, to wake up. And the fastest way to really wake up is to understand what I'm talking about. As I mentioned before, to digest it and assimilate it. Realize who you are, what you are. Nothing. Emptiness. If you just ponder this, it'll make you feel light and peaceful, relaxed. You're not concerned yourself with how much time it takes. Forget about time. Just endeavor to comprehend what I'm talking about. And practice it every day. Just have a feeling of emptiness. Feel emptiness. Total emptiness. Look at the sky and the trees and the earth. And feel their emptiness also. What do you have to do? There was once a guy who wanted to become a Zen Buddhist monk. So he moved to Japan, went to the Zendo, was accepted, had an interview with the Roshi. The Roshi explained all the rules and regulations of the Zendo. And he said, by the way, I forgot to tell you this, we have a vow of silence here. We only speak 3 words every 10 years. So he said, okay, I can accept that. He went to his quarters. 10 years passed. He had an interview with the Roshi, and the Roshi says, well, you got anything to say? And the guy says, the food sucks. comes back to his quarters, some more years pass. He has an interview with the Rashi says, you have anything to say? The bed's hard. Comes back to his quarters. 10 more years passed. Had an interview with the Rosh, do you have anything to say? He says, yes, I quit. And the Rosh says, I don't blame you, you've been bitching ever since you got here.
Yeah.
That's where we are. We're always bitching. Why aren't I enlightened yet? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? We're so concerned about our bodies, our affairs, and the people. Forget about everyone and everything. I'm trying to be antisocial. I'm telling you mentally to become one with yourself. To look at the world objectively. Ask yourself the question, what have I got to do with this world? Keep questioning yourself again and again and again. Over and over again. If I am emptiness, who am I really? What is emptiness? What is my real nature? Who am I? How did I get here? Keep asking some of these profound questions. What's on TV tonight? Where did I come from? Only you can help yourself. But you must want to become free, liberated. If you really want to become free and liberated, you will stop reacting to this world. You will stop believing somebody's trying to hurt you, you gotta get even with people. You will not do things that are contrary to the Dharma. You will become a loving, gentle being. You will flow with life. You will understand everything that comes to you is karmic. If I react to it, I'm accruing more karma, so everything that I react to, that's more calm I'm going to work out. Makes a difference whether I'm right or wrong. The secondary. I keep saying this to yourself again and again. Every time I react to a situation, I'm accruing more karma that I'm going to work out eventually. And it keeps me bound to this earth. It makes me take on body after body after body after body. It'll never end. And so I learn myself to let go, to leave people alone, leave conditions alone, leave situations alone. And again, what comes into my life is a result of my karma from before. So we're going to fight it. We're going to grow more karma. I'll watch it, I'll observe it, I'll laugh at it, and I'll leave it alone. Then I neutralize the situation, and it'll never come back to me again. But every time I react, I'm asking for more of the same thing that comes to me. Whatever your reaction means, he wants more of that. And you're getting more and more and more, and you've got to react, react, react. It never ends. So become mature. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop believing something is wrong somewhere. Stop trying to get the best over people. Be humble. Develop a tremendous humility. Whenever you look at your fellow man, whenever you look at the trees or the flowers or the universe, look at yourself. And you are God. So you see God wherever you look. And that's why the analyzer to figure it out, just do it. This is the reason some of us can't do this, because we try to analyze this, we try to figure it out. We try to make sense out of it. You can't make sense out of it because it's beyond sense. So now you understand who you are, emptiness. You understand that you have no mind. And you understand you have to take refuge in yourself. Do all of these things and live happily ever after. Peace. Last questions? I didn't bring my push button thing with me so you can ask questions. Nobody will insult you.
Can a person that become enlightened fall out of light, fall out of enlightenment?
No.
No.
Once a person becomes enlightened, they transcend the ego and the body. So there's no one left to fall out of it. If a person falls out of it, it means they have an ego left, a body. Because the ego falls out of it. If you become the imperishable self, you've transcended the ego totally and completely. There's no ego left whatsoever. There's nothing to fall out. It's gone. The puppy is gone forever. But if you go to certain points, you can fall back. Certain levels, you can fall back because the ego is still there. And the ego is being influenced by outside forces. This is the reason why you can see you fall back. Because outside influences have grabbed a hold of the ego and causing it to reverse itself for a while. This is what I mean in the old scriptures when it says, on the road to enlightenment, you take 3 steps forward and 1 step backward. This is the way of most people. Take 3 steps forward and 1 step backward. But once you've touched enlightenment, that's it. There's nobody left to do anything. You're totally free.
That intellectual thing.
By observing your mind, watching yourself think, look at your thoughts without reacting to them. Let your mind think all at once. And don't react to the thoughts that come to you. When you don't react to the thoughts that come to you, the mind becomes weaker and weaker. as lotus flowers falling disappear. The mind is like having a friend. Your friend comes and talks to you, you don't respond to them or her. So what's going to happen? The friend will go away and never see them again. This is the way it is with your thoughts in your mind. When the thoughts bombard you, and you just watch them, you have no reaction to them, they become weaker and weaker and weaker. They go away, they will come back. But if you react to them, it's like having a friend that's talking to you and reacts to the person by talking back to them. And you have a conversation. And the friend stays and you have a good time. The friend will not leave you. But if you keep suddenly watch your friend talking, you don't talk back. Your friend's talking, you don't talk back, just look at your friend, don't say a word. Your friend will think you're out of your mind, leave. And you are out of your mind. And your friend will never come back again. So it is with the mind, the same thing. As the mind stops receiving response from you, it becomes weaker and weaker and weaker until the day comes when the source disappears totally and completely. And you can also practice Atmavichara, self-inquiry, by inquiring to whom these thoughts come, who's thinking these thoughts, I am, and who am I, who is the source of the I, and follow the I thought to its source. To discover where the source is, and when you discover the source again, you'll be enlightened and be free. Use those methods.
Certain aspects of it.
This is the kind of dream that you're having. This is your dream. And you're with people think the same way. Just as if you had a dream tonight. You have a dream when you go to sleep that you're going to a class like this. And you're sitting with people thinking about the same things. Is the teacher talking about the same things? And you're asking the teacher the same question. And I say, "What you're dreaming." You say, "How can I be dreaming? We're all dreaming the same thing. It doesn't sound right." Then you wake up. It's all gone. You are the one that's been dreaming.
So it's literally no different than being asleep.
Excuse me?
So it's no different than being asleep.
No different whatsoever. Same thing. There are no others, it's only you. And you're not the one who appears to be like you are. You're not appear to be the way you are. You're not the body, in other words. You're not the body, you're not the mind. You're something completely different. You are the Self, Satchitananda, Nirvana.
I have a question. I'm not sure if I can phrase it properly. I understand the benefits or the teachings of the sage to the followers and how that works for us. What do the followers mean to the sage? Do you understand what I mean?
The followers and the sage are one. There's no difference. The difference is in this person sees the difference. Differentiation than the person looking and seeing differentiation. In reality, there's no difference between the sage and the followers. They're one. Just an appearance again. An appearance that I'm sitting here and you're over there. In reality, I'm sitting here and you're not over there. nothing that is happening. In other words, I'm like a mirror. A mirror can't see itself. It only sees its reflection. Therefore, when I look at you, I see myself. I see consciousness. I see pure awareness. I see joy, absolute reality, bliss consciousness. This is only myself I'm looking at. I don't see my reflection. Now you can say the same thing about yourself. You're a mirror also, but you can't see yourself. You only see your reflection. Therefore, my question to you is, what do you see? What you see is yourself, that's all. I'm trying to say, if you see anything wrong, if you see hate, man to man to man, love, peace, whatever you see is yourself. There's only one. There's an appearance of many, but it's only an appearance. In truth, there's only one. And you, there's one. If you see anything wrong anywhere, you've got to work on yourself. Change the image in yourself. And be able to see through things. To the oneness. The reality. The peace, the love, the joy, the bliss.
Robert, sometimes when I'm meditating, especially if I'm meditating 2 or 3 hours, that nothingness that you talked about becomes very evident. But then when I get up from the meditation, it gradually fades.
First of all, you don't have to meditate 2 or 3 hours. Half hour is not sufficient. The idea is to meditate with your eyes open while you're in the world. Look at the people, look at the marketplace, look at everything. And what do you see? You can ask yourself that. Anybody can go into a deep state of meditation from practice and feel good. And they come out of it and they feel the world. So the important thing is, not the meditation, it's how you feel when you're in the world. That's when you're working yourself. That's when you have to ask yourself, who sees this world? What do I really see? Where am I? Who feels this world the way it is? I do? Who is this I that does? This is why self-inquiry is such a good method. Because it's done while you're in a waking state, and when you're in meditation. In meditation, anybody can go into the void. After practicing meditation for years, you go into the void. But the void is not good enough. You go past the void into reality. Into the absolute reality. And if you get into the void, it'll be hard to get out of it.
One thing, though, is that usually it takes about an hour and a half, well, not always, but sometimes it takes about an hour and a half for me to go into that the deepest place that's possible at that time. And if I only meditate for half an hour, an hour, sometimes it takes almost an hour and a half with thoughts, just to calm down enough so that quality can come through.
Again, forget the word meditation. Nothing that you have to meditate. Rather, you sit in the silence. Sit in the silence and watch. Watch your breath. Watch yourself. Watch your thoughts. What's the feeling of your body? Become aware of those things. That's what you have to do. And practice things when you're in the world. That's more important than practicing in this world than is meditation. You can do it. You and I both know people who meditate for years and years. Now a person says 3 weeks of meditation. Goes into Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Looks like he's dead. He's been meditating for 35 years. When he awakens, like you just said, he becomes worldly. Someone bumps into him, becomes angry. Like you're telling people what a good meditation he's got. What good is it? You want to go beyond meditation. I said, so who has to do meditation? What is the source of meditation? And I found you are, you're the source of meditation. Who am I? Keep questioning yourself this way over and over again. And waking a state. And things will happen. All is well.
Why have I created this web of dream and illusion around myself? Does it create a condition which is useful to me in some way, or is it just a mistake or confusion?
Both are wrong. You've never really created anything. You think you have. Find out those things they have. Those things have created something like this. Ask yourself. Who's one of the things, these thoughts, that create this condition? It appears that I have, but who am I? Keep questioning yourself this way. And all those thoughts will cease. See, the whole object is to make those thoughts cease.
That's why I missed that.
The whole object is to make the thoughts cease. The thoughts that say these things. I've created this and I've created that, it's my fault. In truth, you haven't created the same. And nobody's created anything. Everything just is. You just are. You're neither this nor that. Just be yourself. Observe everything, but don't react to it. Observe yourself thinking. But not react to your thoughts. Inquire, where do these thoughts come? Where do my thoughts come from? What is the source of my thoughts? When you find a source, you'll be free. Mary, it's the end of time.
It's the end of time. It's always your question.
One day I was kind of sitting there and like feeling my life within me, you know, feeling myself. And then my dog was there next to me and I was like feeling my dog's life, and it was like I was my dog. And at that point, my dog's tail started wagging. and this happens to me with animals. And do animals know that?
Yes.
If we don't.
Animals have a beautiful intuition.
They have what?
Intuition. They remember many things that you don't. They remember many things that you don't. Animals are part of our lives. We should be very kind to animals.
It happens all the time. It's like I have a carrot and I'm thinking about going out and giving it to my horse. And he's right there by the door waiting for it.
Mm.
It happens so much and it's like they know something that we don't.
Many animals are human beings at one time. They sort of fall from grace and became an animal in this life. So be kind to all animals, love animals.
Well, I think they're more honest than most people.
And of course, they're very natural, very honest. That's good. Remember to love yourself, to worship yourself, to pray to yourself, to bow to yourself, because God dwells in you as you. God bless you, peace. We have prasad. Lots of pears. Some bottle pears.
What?
More bottle pears. Is bottle pears all we have? A bunch of cheap ones. Everybody should take a turn bringing prasad. Don't let Tony bring it all the time. Go to Brown's Bakery.
Canyon.
And bring apple strudel.
Better than pause.